slotted, shoots, he scores! Quinn Hughes in overtime, and he's the leading rookie scorer in the NHL!
Your Vancouver Canucks live here.
Here's Horvat with a partial break down the left wing. Bo Horvat, he scores! The captain does it again!
This is Canucks Central with Bick and the Boss on Sportsnet 650.
Welcome to Canucks Central with Bick and the Boss, Bick Nizar, Craig McEwen, here with you for the next 2 hours on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Canucks Central, brought to you by Avenue Machinery. Give yourself the Avenue advantage and stay under the cap by saving thousands on select Kubota skid steers and excavators. Visit avenuemachinery.ca. C-Mac, how was your weekend, and are you feeling inspired after what we saw yesterday?
Yeah, I'm feeling really inspired, but somewhat embarrassed. And I'll let you in on a little secret. Before the game, I was texting with Cam Bear, what do they call them? The executive producer, the made up title that someone gave him here on the station. Yes. I think it's Brendan Batchelor gave him some fancy title. Anyways,
I've literally never heard you say that about him, but
I know.
I think we made it up.
Yeah, I think so. Anyways, was just texting with him before the game, and obviously, I wasn't expecting much because I felt that the Leafs were probably going to run the Canucks out of the building just for the simple fact of how long they've been off. They hadn't played. And then lo and behold, you see that performance last night. Did the better team win? No. Did the more inspired team win? Yes, I think so. And then I texted Cam right after the game. Yep, just like I drew it up, Canucks win. I mean, it is inspiring to see. And that's what I love about sport, Vic, isn't it? Like the fact that you can have all the assumptions or think something's going to happen or they shouldn't win, this couldn't happen. And then, you know, I'm not saying they're going to make a movie of that game, but bottom line, I didn't expect the result that occurred. And at the end of it all, was super happy to see the Canucks jumping around in the on the ice after Bo Horvat scores like they just won a playoff game.
You can tell it's... It's loopy land when I'm just reading this text from the last show here. It came in a bit late. But should not have even gone to OT. The Leafs scored with 29 seconds. Screwed as usual. NHL wanted the feel-good story for the Canucks. I feel like this is the first time potentially in Canucks history when the NHL did something in their favor. So you can tell we're living in the upside-down world when suddenly calls are benefiting the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, listen, Braden Holtby was out of this world. And we talked about that last week, about how much he should play and, you know, perhaps showcase him for Seattle. But the veteran move of covering up the puck, and you were at the rink last night, Bick, working as usual, countless hours. And you know, if there should be an executive producer, it should be, you should get an executive title as well.
The sucking up is supposed to go the other direction, by the way.
Yeah, okay, but no, I'm serious. But what you probably missed was Kevin Bieksa on the TV after, and yes, I wasn't listening to our post game show right away. I did flip it over, but what he said is, you know, great move by Holtby. But what he used to do is stick his stick in the goal to try to cover up the camera so that you can't get another look once the play kind of stops. So that Toronto, when they're examining things, and hey, we couldn't see where the puck was, but give credit to Holtby on doing that. That was a fantastic veteran move on his part. And yeah, the puck probably went in, but if you don't see it and there's no evidence there, you know, that allows the Canucks to steal a victory.
I want to get into a couple of things first, but this is just breaking news now. The NHL Department of Player Safety has issued a 2-game suspension for Alex Edler for that knee incident on Zach Hyman. So, an already shorthanded team is going to be a bit more shorthanded with Alex Edler being out for 2 more games. And to me, I looked at that play last night, and like there was some level of really charging at Zach Hyman. Now, I just because he aggressively goes after him, I don't want to say that there's intent to do anything malicious, because that's not really who Alex Edler is, and Travis Green echoed that last night. But you know, it's a hockey play gone really wrong for Alex Edler. And do I look at this and say 2 games is a bit too stiff? Probably not.
No, not with what history has shown us. And Kevin Bieksa on the Halford and Brough show this morning reiterated what he had said on the TV the night before, that a player doesn't go out to ever stick their knee out. To your point, it's a bit reactionary, but Mark Spector had a really good tweet, and it's funny, the Edmonton guy coming to the defense of Alex Edler, but he said last night, for those replying that Edler is indeed a dirty player, he's played 910 NHL games with two major penalties. Last night's game was the first in his career where he gets, you know, that type of thing where, hey, you kind of look at it, what he's done and how he's done it, and yeah, maybe it was a bad play because he's tired and all that. And he averages, you know, over 22 minutes a night in what will be a 1,000-game career. Stuff happens, and yeah, I don't think Alex Edler went out there to hurt Zach Hyman. It was a reaction. You kind of lunge in. You're tired. You've been on the ice for a while. Your mind goes a little bit, but it's instinctual, right? You reach out and grab someone, or you trip them. And as someone's going by, you kind of stick a body part in the way.
I was watching that play because the puck gets out of the zone, and I specifically focused on Myers and Edler, because it was a long shift. It was 3 minutes. And I watched them. So I didn't even really see the play develop. My eyes were specifically on Edler and Myers, and I wanted to see how they were going to get to the bench. And to be honest, I assumed the puck was going to go deep. Yeah. And then I saw Edler charge towards the blue line. And more so than just your usual, hey, I got to close the gap and protect the blue line to prevent a zone entry, it was an aggressive, to the point that I thought, wow, he's really charging to the bench to get off. And then as soon as I see the full picture, Zach Hyman's got the puck. Like, he really went after it. I'm not sure if the TV was able to pick that up, of just how aggressively he went in that direction. So I can understand just looking at that and saying, wow, he really closed that gap really tough, and it almost looked malicious. But, you know, he missed the hit, and you are responsible for your body as much as you're responsible for your stick on the ice. And you can get errant high-sticking penalties that you don't mean to do it, but you're ultimately responsible for that. And in that moment, it's just a play gone wrong big time. And, yeah, two games probably is about right. Now, if you factor in that he already missed that game or half the game, and you add another one, that might be more right. But you also have to consider the scope of what's Zach Hyman's injury.
Yeah.
And does the NHL, as much as I don't necessarily like that process of doing the suspensions that way, that's the logic that they use.
It is, and I guess you have to kind of take it into consideration. The problem becomes, and in this case, the Canucks are not in the thick of things when it comes to the playoffs, although they do have some games in hand now.
Well,
in Ottawa,
slow down.
Coming up.
Yeah,
I won't get too crazy here, like the morning show, which was talking playoffs, but. Yeah, you.
Wow, the house of positivity in the morning show. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. I was actually pleasantly surprised when I put that on, because I'm usually the guy banging that positivity drum. But you're right. They do look at Hyman and what happened to him, and let's hope he's not hurt. But the Canucks aren't really in the thick of it, and Edler wasn't. I can't say he wasn't trying to do it, because he did it. But the hard part in any athletic endeavor, whether you're a beer leaguer or a National Hockey Leaguer, is when you go into something and you're expecting something to happen and then something else transpires, you do react. And sometimes you react in the wrong way. And that's what Edler did. And as I said, let's hope Hyman isn't out for too long, but it is taken into consideration when handing out these suspensions.
Bick Nizar and Craig McEwen here on Canucks Central, Bick and the Boss. I want to start, because it was an epic regular season win. We don't usually say that a whole lot of times. How many can you even say that? Like, the Harold Druckin goal is an epic one, right? But
yeah,
that was to, you know, put yourselves in the playoffs. Given the circumstances, it was very theatrical last night. It felt like, it did feel like a movie, that I was sitting there watching it, and at some point, you know, somebody flipped the script and somebody made an inspiring speech, and here we go. We usually downplay all of that some of that stuff ever happens, but it did feel like that they managed to rally together. And, you know, something happened on Saturday that it was a moment in Travis Green's press conference that's really stood out to me, and I know it got played on Hockey Night and this sort of stuff, but it really stood out to me. As much as we've talked about Holpe and Horvat and Myers, and I want to highlight those guys, we'll talk to Corey Hirsch in about a half hour about the heroic performances they put in. Last night was a visual representation of what Travis Green is all about. And I mean the way the team played. Because a lot of what Travis Green is about, as fantastic as he is with X's and O's and all that sort of stuff and managing lines and, you know, that level of the intricacies of the tactics of hockey, he is more about the, can I get a group of people to buy in? Can I get a group of people to march at my beat? And can we achieve a common goal together? And that's traditionally the type of coach that I think successful teams have. Yeah, you need tactical masterminds and all that sort of stuff, but to get people to buy into a plan is the toughest part of the job. And he does that successfully. And you saw last night, they had every reason to want to pack it up and pack it in and say, hey, let's just get through these 19 games. And nobody would have faulted them for it. And even though we sat here and said, 2 points, this is what they care about, this is their mentality, all this sort of stuff, you still have to understand the scope of what they dealt with. It's COVID-19. They all went through this. It was vicious. And I want to play this back from Saturday. And this is how you start to elicit that reaction from players of, hey, how do you build that trust to then say, hey, I'm ready to go through a wall for this guy's message. This is what Travis Green said on Saturday when he returned to the rink and spoke to media, just talking about caring for your players. Listen to the emotion in his voice in this scenario.
Personally, it was there was a point where I think I was worried about our players a lot, and then I was pretty sick and worried just to get through each day. I mean, selfishly, maybe my focus turned to myself a little bit and getting a little bit worried. But I think when you play on a team, everyone's worried about everyone. Now that I'm back, I'm trying to check in with our players, you know, even if it's just how you feeling. And then we've got a few guys that are still out that you really feel for, because I have a bit of an idea of how they're feeling, even though it is different for everyone and it affects everyone a little bit different from what we've seen. You know, when you coach a team and you care about your players so much, you know, you want to, it's almost like your kids, you want to make them feel better. And, you know, you can't.
Almost like your kids. You care about your players that much. He evokes selfishness when dealing with an illness that is a global pandemic, that even in dealing with it himself, his mind still wanted to be elsewhere, but he realized, hey, I have to take care of myself in this moment, but I want to be there for the 23 other guys or 30 other guys. And checking in to make sure they're okay. That's the sort of stuff. And look, like, that was not lip service. You watch that and you just see the way he interacts and just what we've seen over the course of 3.5 years. The reason you retain him and the reason you try to build around people that can be leaders of men and leaders of organization, last night was about that more so than anything.
Yeah, and what is impressive about how he did things and what he said there was that vulnerability. He, as you said, was almost feeling bad that, hey, I had to turn to myself and worry about myself here. I couldn't worry about the team. So if I'm a player in that locker room and I hear my coach say something along those lines, I'm like, wow. Then he can also relate to the players on what they've been through and how bad COVID was. Those press conferences that we saw with Bo Horvat and Sutter, who had been through it, like if you look in their eyes, and
it
they
was
didn't
raw.
Look well.
Yeah.
None of them looked well, right? Like they, and so Travis not only went through this with them, Travis admitted that he maybe was a little selfish at times, but he really isn't, because we do have to, if we're not healthy ourselves, we can't get the other people around us to think and act in a certain way. So yeah, the whole thing wrapped into it, and the fact that their coach went through it and then could probably step up in the locker room last night and say, hey guys, like, we'll take this being only down a goal going in the third, or you know, that motivation or rallying or vulnerability and honesty and openness is exactly right. That's what drives great leaders forward and drives teams along with that leader to follow them.
It's the bond you create, right? It's more of a mental aspect and an emotional connection than it is, hey, this is the game plan, and can you guys execute this? It's beyond that. It's that's how you elicit reactions from people, to make them do something that is beyond them, and to continue to do something that they think that they can achieve together. And I think when you talk about the reaction at the end of the game, the players on the ice jumping up and down, it's an emotional roller coaster that they've been through. And to tap into that part of your ability to keep pushing, to stay engaged, that's the difficult bit.
For sure. And on the Dunbar Lumber text line, we get a text here. What plan? Being totally outplayed and getting a favorable call and having your goalie save your derriere? Good game plan. We're not talking about a game plan here. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is emotion and people stepping up in the moment and realizing that, hey, yeah, we've been outplayed in this game. Yeah, our goalie has kept us in it by standing on his head and making cartwheel-like saves. And that goalie also went through COVID. This is about people coming together. And did they play a full 60? No. Did they play in spots and take advantage of some opportunities and chances? For sure. No one is suggesting that the Canucks were the better team last night. No one is suggesting that that was the game plan to play rope-a-dope. What we're suggesting here is the fact that as a group, as a leader in Travis Green, he can come into the room and talk to them and say something to them and like, guys, let's go win this one. And so that's all you want in sports, is that chance and that opportunity. It doesn't always go the way you write it up. And sometimes you get outplayed and find a way to win. And sometimes you get outplayed and the doors get blown off. But the fact that Canucks didn't fold, Bick, like you said, the fact they didn't give up, the fact they hung around and found a way to beat a team that was far superior to them on the ice last night, is a true testament to the resiliency and also the bond this group probably has now, because moving forward, they'll always remember that they went through this terrible COVID situation together and are trying to come out the other side as a better team, as a better group of people, and better for not only themselves, but their family members.
You said it there, together, right? It's something that they had to go through together. It's something that they have to overcome together. And when you do that, man, like, things are possible when you do it. And to the texture's point, by the way, send in your text 650, 650. We got Don't At Me coming up in a couple of minutes, so you can get your submissions in a bit early. We'll get to that coming forward. Like, okay, I understand what the texture's talking about. The Leafs were the better team.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They played like a team that thought they deserved 2 points. And a lesson in life is you earn what you receive. That's just a rule of life. You earn what you deserve. And the Canucks, yeah, they were outplayed. But guess what? They played like a team that had to earn the 2 points. You talk about underdogs overcoming champions, right, in boxing. You never want to leave it to the cards, right? You never want to leave it to the judges. You have to take it away from someone. Last night, the Canucks played out there as if they had to earn those 2 points. At some point in the game, it was very visual to see Toronto was coasting. Now, they might up their game on Tuesday, and again, prove their superiority based on talent over the Canucks, but that was a team that let up a little bit, and the Canucks earned their 2 points. And that is something that if you tap into that, that is how success comes about. Even I generally go for the ideal of, I will take a coach, and just a team in general, a coach with an inferior game plan that can generate perfect buy-in, instead of a coach with a perfect game plan but can't get buy-in. Because I don't care how smart you are or how smart your game plan is, if you don't have 20 people willing to execute it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, for sure. But I'll also say this, is that you get what you earn. Over the long haul, that emotion, that rah-rah, new rock me kind of speech, mm-hmm. it only takes you so far. You have to have the
sure.
talent. You do have to have that coaching and all that sort of stuff. But bottom line, I understand what you're saying. I would much rather take the hustle, the desire, the pride, the intensity that I'm going to gut this out for you, as opposed to a super talented team that, you know, knows they can flip it on and off. And maybe they didn't flip the switch properly, because you saw last night, the Leafs probably overpassed too much. I don't say they took them for granted, but they did believe in their heart of hearts that just from a pure physical standpoint, the Canucks had been off for 20 plus days, they were going to be the better team. And for the most part, they were. They just couldn't put them away and let them hang around. And how many times have we seen that in sports, when you let those teams stay in it, that they find a way to get a win?
Bick Dezauer and Craig McEwen, we do this at 1:20 every morning or every afternoon here. It is Don't At Me.
Your takes uninterrupted. Don't At Me. Text in your submissions to 650-650.
Does that mean I said what I said?
Don't at me for lease busters. Need or want out of your car lease? Avoid early termination and negative equity costs by going to leasebusters.com. Guaranteed lease relief. Don't at me, C-Mac. That was the Leafs David Ayers game redone.
That was brought up. I would say, you know, I'm not supposed to necessarily disagree. And in some ways it was relatable to that, but, you know, Holtby was outstanding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to say Ayers didn't play incredible as well, but that was a really good goalie at one end of the ice last night who played his best game as a Vancouver Canucks, surprisingly, in the sense of what he's been through the last 20-plus days as well.
I don't mean as a goaltending performance. I mean as when the Leafs lost that David Ayers game, it was before the deadline, and as much as hope and promise there was into that season, they kind of knew of, hey, maybe we shouldn't push all our chips in. We kind of learned a lesson, and we revealed our identity. You lose this game when you had every advantage. That's an identity-revealing loss. And they've already pushed their chips in for what the playoffs are going to be because it's post-deadline. But you're telling me that team's going to win a Stanley Cup? I highly doubt it.
Hey,
that's what I mean.
Well, don't at me, West End Mike. The Canucks got lucky with the no-goal call in the third. That puck was in. That's where I think it's different than the Ayers game. That, you know, they didn't give up at the end. They were pushing to try and win that hockey game. Probably left it a little late. And as I said, Holtby, the smart veteran move to cover up that puck so that you couldn't really see where it was. And inconclusive evidence means that the call on the ice stands and the call was no goal. And the Canucks go to overtime and find a way to win.
Back to earning and deserving. You earn your luck, man. You earn your luck. So, yeah, they got lucky. Don't get me wrong. You earn your luck. You absolutely do. Good don't at me there from West End Mike. Tanbeer, don't at me. Jalen Chatfield played one hell of a game yesterday. He's one of these young D-men I want to see more of in the next 18 games. So you're certainly going to get a lot of chances. Because, once again, Alex Edler suspended for two further games. And so you're going to see some young faces. This one, don't at me. Shiloh, the Canucks are going to injure more players due to fatigue plays. So is that an element in this, right, of Alex Edler? It's similar to what we saw with Jacob Markstrom when he slid out on Tanner Pearson. And it was like, oh, was that the right play? Or was that a guy who was just tired and reacting and doing a couple of things? Was that kind of what we saw, a fatigued Alex Edler play on emotion in that moment?
For sure. Again, out there a long time, but how about Tyler Myers and the ice time he logged last night? I mean, there's a lot of people in this market that don't like Tyler Myers. And, you know, they'll point to the metrics. They'll point to all these sort of different things. But the eye test last night for me showed the true value of what Tyler Myers can be when he simplifies things and he just kind of plays within himself. Man, he was a monster out there, just logging 2-3 minute shifts. You know, I was super impressed with the way Myers played.
It's kind of the ceiling of a player. How often can you see the ceiling of a player? And he was able to get to his ceiling, which, by the way, looked a lot more than a $6 million D-man last night for what he was able to do and carry those heavy minutes. Are there better players? Yeah, of course. Are there guys who are able to do different things? Yeah, of course. But he was full value for his contract yesterday and a little bit more to be able to carry those minutes and still play effectively. It's one thing to play that many minutes. Can you play well? That's why a lot of guys don't get those minutes. He was able to play well for those 30 minutes, which is just unbelievable. And got his reward, got an assist. So big ups for him.
Yeah. And to me, he knew exactly when to go glass or boards and out, and he knew exactly when he had to hang on to the puck, like on that OT winner where he looked at it, didn't slip it to Horvat, kept possession, circled around, then fed Bo again going through the neutral zone, who walks in and scores the winner.
Don't at me, unsigned text. Canucks winning last night was like Miracle on Ice. Are we saying the Toronto Maple Leafs are like the Soviets?
No, I don't think, as I said, I don't think there'll be a movie made of this, but it sure was, after all that this team has been through, sure was nice to see that celebration at the end.
Hey, if it turns into something, right? If they go on some sort of run here.
Yeah, true. Yep.
A movie might get made and it'll have this this evening as, or sorry, last night as the turning point in the movie. The crescendo, the climax of the movie will be last night. Keep your thoughts coming in. Don't at me. We'll talk to Corey Hirsch on the other side. Get to a little don't at me overtime coming up here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Here's more Canucks Central with Bick and the Boss on Sportsnet 650.
Welcome back to Canucks Central, Bick and the Boss, brought to you by Avenue Machinery. Give yourself the Avenue advantage and stay under the cap by saving thousands on select Kubota skid steers and excavators. Visit avenuemachinery.ca. The texts are coming in, 650, 650, to our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. I didn't realize we had the NHL Department of Player Safety in our text inbox. I got a number of photos where the puck is clearly in. Clearly in. So, guess the, sorry, not the NHL Department of Player Safety, but the Situation Room for the NHL apparently didn't have access to these photos. So, should have been 2 points last night for the Leafs, C-Mac.
Oh, well. You win some, you lose some, and sometimes the Leafs get screwed. They're not going to bug me any.
Darren says, "How to the name of the movie will be How to Ruin a Good Draft Pick." That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Blue Line Bar Down, don't at me. I'd rather cheer for the Leafs than Riccio's intro and the game show music on Password. Well, you might have some good news on there. Can't confirm nor deny just yet, but you might have some good news on that front. Blue Line Bar Down.
Is that still going on, that whole controversy? I thought we put that to bed. Or is this now something that's popped because there was a whistleblower? Or like, where do we all sit on that front?
We had the whistleblower, and it looks like we've trended in a positive direction. We had to go through some acrimony and some tough conversations, but it looks like we're finally trending in a positive direction where everyone will be happy.
Nice.
Look, I seek your counsel for conflict resolution.
And, listen, you just follow Travis Green's lead about leadership and be vulnerable, be open, honest, you know, that sort of thing. Just let your feelings out and allow the group to have their say. And then ultimately, you know, you're in charge. Tell them this is what we're doing.
We stopped being defensive about it. How about that? And we finally started listening to the other person's issues. And it feels like we're going to develop something bigger and better. We're finally at that stage, C-Mac. You would be proud, you know.
That gives me a lot of hope. And especially probably, I think Bear is off today. So you guys should make all the decisions about him anyways.
Yeah, go figure the day Bear is off, we figure everything out. The real culprit behind any of the controversy was Cam Bear.
Nice.
Bick Nizar and Craig McEwen are going to talk to Corey Hirsch in just a minute. When he joins us to recap a very eventful game last night. You can share your thoughts as well to the 650-650 or tweet me at Bick650, not Bick660 as it we just saw online. Just to catch you up on the latest news, Alex Edler suspended for 2 games. The NHL Department of Player Safety just announcing that just now. But when it comes to the rest of that game, we touched on Tyler Myers, but Braden Holtby, we briefly touched on, as we led up to these games, of, hey, what can he do in these remaining 19 games, and how many games is he actually going to get and whatnot. He got his opportunity, and he ran with it. Like, that was unbelievable yesterday, what he was able to do. And it wasn't just these 5-alarm desperation saves. He was in control for a lot of the night. It felt like a goalie that we expected to see when he signed his contract.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, let's be fair. The Leafs hit the crossbar, the post. They missed a couple of glorious opportunities. You know, shots fired back across the net. But bottom line, to your point, that was the best I had seen Holtby kind of in control, making the saves that he had to make. And some... again, the spectacular variety. But what I liked most about it, he didn't look rattled. He stayed calm and cool. And we talk about leadership from Travis Green and leadership from some of the players. That was a veteran goalie saying, okay, I'm going to have to bail my team out, especially early on, and getting down a goal and not allowing the next one. I thought Holtby really showed his worth there. And if you're a Canucks fan, you can only hope that this is the start of bigger and better things to come.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we get it. The Leafs created a lot of chances. I saw Kevin Woodley tweet out it was something like 6 expected goals or close to it. So that's a stolen win if you go by the metrics. And it's not one the Canucks, you know, should have won, but they worked their tails off and they stayed competitive. And you talk about goaltending. How can they compete? You're working through screens. You're doing all this sort of stuff, and you're not giving up on plays. And we really saw, you know, one thing that we've heard a lot about Braden Holtby is one of the more competitive guys you're ever going to see. And you saw the physical representation of what that was last night, of just how tough, how connected he stayed to the game, and how much he battled through all these scoring chances that the Toronto Maple Leafs generated.
Yeah, and he battled with the fact that he also had some COVID issues.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a tiring position. A lot of people probably don't give it enough credit at times because they think, oh, yeah, you're just in there and you're moving side to side and the puck hits you and really what are you doing? But think about just getting up and down and diving around and pulling yourself all over the ice. The way he played and the way he moved, he didn't look like a guy who had had any problems and looked in pretty good shape to me. All things considered, because there were a few Canucks during the game last night at times where you watch them trying to drag themselves off the ice and they just looked absolutely gassed. But Holtby didn't show any signs of that. He showed a good economy of motion in the goal, didn't really overcommit on things, followed, tracked the puck well.
Forget
got his pad down. You know, that was the great thing about it.
Lost you here, C-Mac, but getting a bit of disturbance there. I feel like Hershey might have joined us now. Corey, are you with us?
I'm here.
Oh, there we go. We'll wait to see if we can get the next person out, Corey. In the meantime, we'll continue talking to the boss. C-Mac, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. That was bizarre. All of a sudden, I started hearing all this echoey noise in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
I usually hear voices, but I don't usually hear echoing in there. So yeah, it was kind of bizarre that we had that coming in, but hopefully we can get Hershey hooked up. It's a weird day for all of us who are on the Rogers phone network the phones in. We have to do this strictly through links and all that sort of stuff. So that's a challenge at the best of time.
Technology stays dominating us.
Yeah.
I think we have Corey back on now. Corey? Oh, I thought I heard something. Okay, we'll connect with Corey Erickson in just a second. Continuing on the conversation of a 3-2 overtime win of your Vancouver Canucks over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The other guy we've been meaning to mention, we touched on Tyler Myers, a little bit on Braden Holtby, but Bo Horvat, you needed a captain's effort yesterday, and you absolutely got it. And Bo Horvat was just unbelievable yesterday. And the thing I wanted to highlight with him is, oftentimes with Bo is, he tries to do too much, and whether that's competitive spirit of, hey, I want to win so much, and there's something I think I can do elsewhere, and I can cover up for this guy and do this. Yesterday, he played within himself and handled his job, and you see how effective he can be. And I know there's debates all the time of Bo Horvat versus this center in the league. One of the things that lends itself to why Bo Horvat should win all of those debates against like your Ryan Nugent Hopkins of the world is there's a physicality to Bo Horvat that certain guys can't get to. And I don't just mean bodying guys up along the boards. I mean how you can skate and all this sort of stuff. He's able to be more explosive than other guys. But it's that cerebralness to the game. Yesterday, you saw that come out. And when he stays engaged like that, that's how you can see an elite number two center.
Yeah, and it was Bo who bristled at the question about are they going to get blown out and how are they going to handle coming back after this. And he said, hey, they're in it to win it. Now, that's easier said than done, but Bo did show that. He picked his spots last night. He was opportunistic on a few of his chances. I didn't think he started necessarily that well, but as the game wore on, he seemed to pick it up as time went by. And playing against Matthews is not an easy thing to do, but he was very effective in doing that. And to your point about his smarts and his power and his positioning, he can body guys off the puck. He keeps control of it, holds them off as he skates. Yeah, that was a very good game by Bo Horvat, but I don't know that it was his best considering all that he'd been through with the COVID thing, but he just was smart in when he turned it on and when he turned it off. And for the most part, I felt got better as that game went along.
We'll try this one more time here. The voice of one of the voices on our Canucks games here on Sportsnet 650, Corey Hirsch joining us. Corey, are you with us? All right. Well,
three strikes, you're out. Hershey's going to get fined, for one. First of all, the technology getting by him. Secondly, he's hanging the boss out to dry here. We build it up, and we got Corey Hirsch, who's been
ripping and ready to go. And yeah. All of a sudden,
Corey, I think we can hear you, and I think we can hear too much of you. So we'll try to reconnect it another time, buddy.
Do you got me now?
A little bit. How is...
Is that better?
Yeah, there we go. There
we go.
Finally, where are you, buddy?
You don't want to know. All right, that's for me to know. Okay, you're sitting with the boss. All right.
There we go.
I'm out. I'm actually outside his house in his bushes right now. He just doesn't know.
Okay. Last night, Bo Horvat. You needed a captain's effort, and certainly he was the leading skater for me. Driving force of how to get those 2 points last night.
Oh, he was so good last night. If you didn't think he was a leader at this point, he is now. My goodness. I heard C-Mac say he doesn't think that's the best game he's seen him play. I'm for me, for the circumstances, for everything, that's the best game I've seen him play, I think. I don't know. Did you say you didn't think he was, or you did? C-Mac.
I would say I felt in the playoffs he might have played a little bit better.
But you're very valid.
To your point, in the circumstance, yes, that was a heroic effort by a guy who, you're right, showed great leadership and he showed great moxie. And he even said it going into the weekend that, they're not out here to get rolled. They're going to try and get 2 points. And he did everything in his power to make sure that got done.
They're not even in that situation, though, without their goalie. Let's be honest.
For sure.
They're not even close. Like, I counted, Toronto had, I counted 33 scoring.
Nope. There we go. Dropping with Corey Hirsch there again. I think we'll try to pass on that, boss. What do you think about now?
Yeah, I think so. But, Hirschy is right about the goaltending. I mean, we've talked about it. Holtby was outstanding. And more of what we expected when the Canucks signed him and thought that he would push Thatcher Demko for starts. And we were talking at the beginning of the year, would it be 50-50, kind of 60-40, but Demko really took off and took the crease over. But last night, Holtby played the way that a lot of people thought he might be able to when he came to Vancouver. And if he continues to do that, then especially with this compressed schedule, I think you're going to see both those two goalies kind of rotate in and out a little bit more than what we saw previous to that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that type of performance is repeatable. Just because
probably not. Yeah,
it probably isn't. And again, let's be real. Like, Jason Spezza misses an empty netter, right? And it changes. It could change the complexion of the game. The team needs to improve, no doubt about it. And you can't necessarily rely. I'm not expecting Braden Holtby to provide that level of goaltending continually. Now, if Thatcher Demko comes back, then we can have a different conversation, because it was, as we were just talking about ceilings of players' abilities, there's a chance that Thatcher Demko can be that special level of goaltender who can play with a save percentage of .950 and carry a team to get 2 points. That can happen. That's on the list of probabilities that can happen here in these remaining 18 games. But you take what you can get. It's a nice score. Yeah, we're going to... Bye, Corey. Bye. There we go. Thank you, Corey.
Wow, this is smooth radio. This is. Look, we talk about Holtby having a great game and Bo Horvat. I'm not so sure this is our best pick. Like this,
Hershey
this
keeps trying to log back on, but yeah. I have no control over whether he can or can't, yeah. And that's why you keep hearing that.
You know, okay. So to catch people up on what's going on today with the technical difficulties, I see some people. What is this short rave radio with Hershey in the Cayman Islands? Great text, by the way. As you may or may not know, Rogers Network cell phone network down. So we're having difficulties trying to dial people up, obviously, and so we're trying to engineer new ways to connect with people. Some of them will work better than others. Obviously, we're having some difficulties there with Corey Hirsch. Back to Braden Holtby. It's nice to know that he's got that in his ceiling, because it wasn't just a protected environment of, hey, how do we shelter this guy and give him easy looks and maybe can make these saves. It was I'm kind of winning this game kind of on my own.
Yeah, and hey, the Canucks did a good job collapsing around the net. They were doing their best to limit second and third chances, but that didn't necessarily go as planned in spurts of that game. So yeah, Holtby had to stand on his head at times and make those big saves, which you expect a veteran goaltender to do. Can you live and die like that moving forward? No, probably not. You don't want to give up those opportunities. And the challenge now becomes, with Alex Edler getting a two-game suspension, is that your back end gets younger unless Nate Schmidt can come off the COVID list and play here. That's where you really see the depth was tested last night with just five defensemen for most of that game. That's why Tyler Myers did so well logging all that ice time. But to expect him to do that again, and then you have to go with some younger pairings, that's where the goalies are going to see those better chances because, you know, with all due respect to the young guys, that pace of play at the NHL level is so different than what some of them have experienced before.
Devin texting in with an interesting question. Always appreciate your thoughts. 650-650 and questions. We'll try to answer them as the show goes along. In an ideal world, is someone with Bo's personality your captain or wearing an A? That's an interesting question. His personality, I would say, is more like an assistant to me. But when you see it translate on the ice, like I keep saying a captain's effort, well, that's kind of what you expect from your captain. It's not always to me about your C should go to your best player or anything like that. To me, it's always about who do people gravitate towards. And that's not to say people don't gravitate towards Bo. It's just we're all aware of who the meal ticket is for this entire franchise. And it's Elias Pettersson. Does he get to a stage where he's comfortable being that voice and being that face of the franchise? You wouldn't want to rush it upon him. But to me, like, I think that's where everyone will eventually gravitate towards. That doesn't mean Bo's a bad captain or anything like that. It's just, me personally, I would have a preferred choice. But what we saw last night, that's what you want from your captains.
Yeah, for sure. And the emotional fiery guy who's going to say a lot would be, you know, more of a JT Miller. But is that the captain you want? Or do you want someone like Bo Horvat who follows more of the Sedin role? And I'm not comparing Bo to the Sedins, but what I'm saying is kind of one of those lead by example guys. So I'm going to go on the ice and put in a good shift every time. I'm going to be on the right side of the puck. I'm going to lay the body. I'm going to make good decisions with the puck, play well defensively. That's how Bo Horvat leads. And I, you know, we're not in the locker room. We don't know if he ever gives a rah-rah speech or what, but you know what you're going to get out of Bo. And really, to your point, I believe he's just bridging the gap to the time when Pettersson will feel comfortable. And then I'm sure Bo, being the team guy he is, the great leader that he is, will just go, hey, yeah, just doesn't matter what letter I have, slap an A on me. Don't slap an A on me. I'll gladly pass the torch off to EP40.
Yeah, and look, it is a bit overrated to this day of, hey, the captain is the guy that rah-rah and all that sort of. It's a leadership group. That's what's important, and that's what sets the tone for your locker room. And we saw JT Miller last week have his hand in being part of that leadership group. And it's never just about one guy. And even, you know, Daniel and Henrik have echoed about how many important voices there were in the room, whether it's Luongo, whether it's Bieksa, whether it's Burrows. You need a collective because it shouldn't just be one person. You kind of need your middle managers to send the message between them and the coaching staff and them and the management.
You need a core is what you need. And when you don't have a good leadership core and a core group of people, that's when you have issues, because one person can't do it alone. One person in a team sport can be relied upon to do only so much. So you need that leadership core, a group of guys who are like-minded, sometimes like-aged, and they're the ones that kind of carry the team, the direction, the motivation, the culture. That's what you need is that core group of players that are the ones that are leading the way, setting the tone, setting the example so others will follow.
Bick Nizar and Craig McEwen here on Canucks Central with Bick and the Boss. We'll continue on. It is a I'm not surprised how big this story has become, but we are going to touch it on the other side of the break here. This idea of the Super League, we're going to touch on that with James Sharman, who will join us in just a couple of minutes, and also just kind of relate it to, you know, the how we view sports here versus how sports are done in Europe. And I think it's an interesting conversation of where kind of the state of sport might be going. It's a big picture conversation, but we want to get into it with James Sharman coming up in just a minute on Bick and the Boss coming up here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.